I am recording this podcast, as I always do, in central London. The window is closed, not just to screen out the merry shouts of the builders repairing someone's roof across the way, but also the sounds of birdsong and bees. It is summer, after all. And this is the time when, on beaches, in back gardens, and in contemplative places generally, we think we ought, as our minds wind down, to take some sort of stock of our lives and plan ahead. This is quite hard at the moment. Politics is turbulent wherever you look. Business models are being turned inside out. Financial reporting is under attack for being, they say, unreliable. But stretched out as we are in thoughtful and restful mode, we need to remind ourselves that though the noise we are hearing from all quarters is unremittingly fractious, in the long term, it will just be memory. We should remember that great crises are often of their time, reach resolution, and move to the backs of our minds. Fashion also plays its part. Today, vegan diets are seen as conquering the world. But who now remembers that back in the days when I was a student, it was macrobiotic diets that were expected to take the world by storm and revolutionise our eating habits, health and behaviour. Avocados are now revered. In the macrobiotic days, they were reviled. We forget that times change. For years now, the story has been that the younger generation has been uniquely blighted economically. Never before in history, so the narrative goes, have the young had it so bad, while at the same time older generations are sitting on cruise ships, chugging the champagne down. Yet, up pops the Institute for Fiscal Studies the other day and reports that on the latest data, young adults' living standards have risen faster than any other age group during the past 5 years, even outstripping the income growth marked up by baby boomers. Fashions rise and fall and are forgotten. And more to the point, great crises move into the past and the worry shifts. 75 years ago, my father was deep in the Second World War. He was in Burma, these days Myanmar. He was with the 2nd Chindit Expedition fighting against the Japanese and operating behind enemy lines in conditions that by any standards were atrocious. The heat was extraordinary. The monsoon rains meant that if you slept, at best, on mud, at worst in several inches of water. Supply drops were erratic, so you were perpetually hungry. A heavy pack on your back contained all your worldly goods and a range of weaponry, and any pause in marching would be spent worrying about the possibility of ambush and trying to remove leeches from your feet. And that is before you became involved in fierce fighting. Kill or be killed. That is pressure. That is stress. The great Australian cricketer Keith Miller was a fighter pilot during the war. Post-war, he was once approached by a spectator who asked how he dealt with the pressure when he was nearing a century at Lord's Cricket Ground. "Pressure?" he responded quietly. "Pressure is having an enemy aircraft firing at you up your backside." We need to keep this in mind as we doze in our hammocks of summer. We need to put things into perspective. My father's citation for bravery in the midst of battle talks of the unremitting firefight, but also stresses his cheerful personality and his tireless enthusiasm. And I suspect that is the context that we need to remind ourselves about. In the long term, it's worth remembering what we worried about in past decades and contemplate what we might worry about in the years ahead. With the wildness of the politicians we currently have and the chances of disaster from climate change to collapsing financial institutions, it's ever more important that we focus on practical issues rather than the noise around them.